We do have, along with Terry, there is a fairly significant Stanford contingent in our church, and my dear wife, who's an Oregon University of Oregon graduate, is homesick with a cold today, but she asked me to pass along a message to our Stanford friends. So, that's from Sharla. With love. If you'll turn with me, we're in the Old Testament again today, and just about the same point in the history of Israel that we were last Sunday. And I'm going to set up, after I read the text, I'm going to set up more of the context for you. But this will be a story familiar to some. It's about a guy named Balaam and his talking donkey. 3,000 years before Mr. Ed. What's happening, and as I said, I'm going to set up more of the context in a minute. What's happening is Balaam is going to get on his donkey, and he's riding out to a mountaintop overlooking where he can see where the people of Israel are encamped. They're about to enter the promised land. And Balaam has been paid by a man named Balak, king of the Moabites. More on this in a minute. He's been paid to put a curse on the Hebrew people. He ends up speaking a blessing over them, but we'll get to that. Right now, he's on his way. I'm going to start Numbers chapter 22. I'm beginning with verse 21. Hear the word of God. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road and with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've struck me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long and to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the angel of the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to expose you, because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her go. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, the people of Israel had just about completed their 40 years of wandering, and they are camped at Moab. And those who were at Walk Through the Bible know exactly where Moab is, right? Yeah. Well, depending on which way you're looking. If you're looking this way, it's right over here. Okay? And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you'll just have to come next time that we do Walk Through the Bible. But they are camped at Moab, and the Moabites are terrified. And the king of the Moabites is terrified. His name was Balak. And the people of Israel were very numerous, and the Moabites are afraid that the people of Israel are just going to take over their country. They had no need to be concerned because the people of Israel want to cross over the river into Canaan, the land of promise. But Balak hatched a plan. He knew that there was a certain local holy man named Balaam. Balaam was an interesting character. He was kind of a holy man for hire. He was not of the Hebrew people, but he did have a reputation as somebody who could talk with God and who could listen to God. So King Balak sent some fairly low-level emissaries with a check. The New Testament, I believe it's the book of Jude, tells us that Balaam was motivated by greed. So they come with a nice check, the emissaries from King Balak, and they say to Balaam, "We would like for you to go put a curse on the Hebrew people for us." And he looked at the check and he said, "Stay the night here, and I will pray about it, and tomorrow I'll give you my answer." So he prayed about it. And the next day he said, "No, I'm not going to do this. God told me," and God did. God told him, "No, don't do this, because these are my people. I'm going to bless them," said the Lord to Balaam. So Balaam says, "Nope." So these emissaries go back to King Balak, and being a man of the world, he figures, well, we just need to write a bigger check. So he wrote a bigger check and sent higher-level emissaries. This time the text says it's princes went and waved a bigger check under Balaam's nose. And he said, "Let me pray about it again. And you stay the night here with me, and I'll give you an answer tomorrow." So he prayed about it. And this time, God did tell him, the text tells us. And by the way, this whole thing is Terry Pepe summed up this whole text, that this is a reminder that truth is stranger than fiction. It really is. The story is so strange to modern ears. But he prayed about it the second time, and this time God told him, "All right, go." But God said to Balaam, "You will only do exactly as I tell you." Balaam says, "Okay." So, you may wonder, why are we here on this text in the middle of stewardship season? And that is our season of stewardship. This story, I think, one of the themes of this story is what happens when money and fear get mixed up together. And when we make financial decisions out of fear rather than faith, we can end up being a curse rather than a blessing. Balaam thought twice when a bigger check was waved under his nose. Let me pray about that again. Don't we all sometimes live by the illusion that just a little bit more money would give us peace? How much do you need? Well, a little bit more than I have. And one of the things that this story tells us, when God gives Balaam permission to go for a little bit more money, it tells us that if you decide to make that the basis of your view of your finances, that just a little bit more is what I need. If you want to waste your life just collecting money, don't be surprised if God says yes and allows you to just go down that path a little ways. Remember the prodigal son? Jesus told the story, one of the parables of Jesus. Remember that the prodigal came to his father and said, "Father, you're still alive, inconveniently, but I'd like to have my inheritance right now. Would you give it to me?" And the father said, "Yes. Here it is. Go." So, Balaam got on his donkey and he headed for Moab. He's not out to defy God. That's not his purpose. But the story will make clear his fear and his greed are putting him on a road to confrontation with God. In my experience I honestly don't understand. We could probably get a psychologist in here to explain to us what it is about our relationship with money that makes our palms sweat. And makes us do strange things. And makes us even sometimes irrational when the subject of money comes up. It taps into really deep stuff in us. I know that. You've probably heard me say before, you've heard other preachers say it, Jesus talked about money more than any other subject except the kingdom of God. And I think that's because he knew that money taps into a place in us that belongs only to God. And money is the chief competitor in our lives for the role that belongs only to God. Think of the things that we look to money for our security, hope for the future, power and influence. All of those things that our faith would tell us, only God can faithfully supply. Like Balaam, we sometimes think that just a little bit more will get us where we want to be. And brothers and sisters, that's the road to curse. That's not the road to blessing. I want you to try a little experiment with me. Think of the real priorities. What are the priorities of your life? And if you're like me, the priorities of your life would be family, working hard in your chosen vocation or career, or if you're retired, being useful in your retirement. Your health is probably one of your priorities, and that's a very worthy priority. Okay, now if you were to take all of those priorities and put them in a pie chart, which ones, in your church, I know because you're here, that your church is a big priority for you. The work of Christ's kingdom is a big priority for you. Take all of those and put them in a pie chart, and the various spaces of that pie chart that each one would fill up, and then think about your budget, where your money is actually going, and that's a separate pie chart. And I want to ask you, do those charts line up? Does the chart of your spending line up with the chart of your priorities? Let's think about those officials of Moab, the ones who went to hire Balaam. Let's think of those officials of Moab as the voices of this world. The officials of Moab saturate us with advertisements every day of things that we absolutely have to have. And if we just had a little bit more, we could get a hold of those things. And before we know it, we fall prey to their lies. And a huge portion of our income is going to things that we know won't make us happy, that won't endure for eternity, and that don't lead us any closer to God's kingdom. And by the way, this sermon is not about giving more to the church. This sermon is about being at peace in your relationship with God and your relationship with money. This sermon is about finding joy in our stewardship, in our stewardship of the gifts that God has given us. Christian stewardship is not about giving more, it's about worrying less. Because we've taken Jesus at His word and trusted our lives and our resources to Him. So, if the church is on your priority list, then give to the church. It takes money to make this operation go. But I encourage you, don't ever be a captive to fear. Stop looking to money for your security. Jesus wants you to rest secure in the promises of your Heavenly Father and in His goodness and mercy. And also, as we go about our stewardship emphasis, let's agree together as a church that we will not ask God for money for our church. Because, brothers and sisters, God has already supplied everything we need. We have all the resources that we need, both human and financial, to do the ministry that God has called us to do. If we don't have the resource, then God is not calling us to do it. Let's covenant together as a church that we will not ask God to provide money. We will instead ask God to free our hearts, to work in us deliverance from bondage to fear about money. And that giving then will become a natural response of love, response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Well, back to Balaam. Balaam got on his donkey and he went down the road toward cursing because he had let himself be lured by just a little bit more money. And he's riding along, and this is where the story gets really strange and really humorous. He's riding along. Suddenly an angel with a great big sword blocked the road. And the funny thing is, Balaam didn't see it, but the donkey did. So the donkey goes scooting off, takes off into a field, and Balaam whacks the donkey with a stick, gets him back on the path. They start going again. They come to a narrow place in the road, like kind of a canyon, it sounds like, and all of a sudden, there's the angel up ahead again with the sword, and Balaam doesn't see it. The donkey does, and the donkey tries to... I've had this happen to me. I've never ridden a donkey, but I've had a horse try to brush me off. And that's what the donkey tries to do, try to rub Balaam off. And Balaam gets mad again, whacks the donkey with a stick again. So they keep going. They come to another narrow spot in the road. And this time, once again, the donkey sees the angel. Balaam doesn't. This time, the poor donkey just sat down. I'm not taking another step. Once again, Balaam gets off, whacks the poor donkey with a stick. Balaam has forgotten that God is an animal lover. And it says, God opened the mouth of the donkey. What have I done to make you beat me three times? And Balaam is so enraged and so worried about his payday that he just starts talking back to this donkey as if this is a normal everyday thing. Balaam says, you made a fool of me. If I had a sword, I'd kill you now. And the donkey wisely held his tongue about who is the biggest fool in this exchange. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes so that he could see the angel. And Balaam and the angel said, look, if it wasn't for this donkey saved your life. I would have killed you. And Balaam fell down to the ground, and he said, I have sinned. And the text does not give us the donkey's response to that. Now, if you and I accept the offer of the princes of Moab, if we set our hopes on just a little bit more money, God will set up roadblocks to get our attention. The toys you buy will wear out. That big house will be empty of joy. And you'll find that you can travel the world and go nowhere. And when that happens, remember Balaam's donkey. He wasn't as smart as his rider, but he was much wiser. He saw that they were riding into destruction. Listen to the emptiness of your soul. It's telling you to fall down on your knees and cry out to God, help me. I'm a sinner. I need you. So the angel told Balaam, I didn't read this part, the angel told Balaam, go on ahead. Go to Moab. And he thought he was going to go ahead and give a curse. He opened his mouth three times and each time blessing came out. Against his own will, he became a blessing. Brothers and sisters of Christ Presbyterian Church, let's be a blessing. Let's not let money be our guide, be our God. Let's be a blessing to this community. Let's take the long view. I want to establish and build a church here, and I know you do too, that's going to be around when everybody in this room is gone. We are going to plant trees, the shade of which we will not enjoy. Let's be a blessing. Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord, we thank you for the example of Balaam, who set out to be a curse and ended up being a blessing. And that's our story too. It's only by your love and grace and power that we can be a blessing to one another, that we can be a blessing to our community, to this world. And Lord, we confess before you that this broken and spiritually burned out world needs a blessing. They need to know the blessing of your love. This world needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and that life is found in Him and Him alone. So give us grace, Lord, as we consider our giving. Send your Holy Spirit. Give us your peace and be our guide. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.